I know my week, your day started at 8. So you've been from one meeting to another since from 8. Lunchtime, we also had a meeting. Yeah, so we apologize for the delay. It is members had to grab something quickly. Let's start with the apologies. You are all welcome. Mayor Chawa and your colleagues, you are all welcome. We only have one agenda item, which is the briefing by the Acting Secretary to Parliament on Parliament's 2018-2019 annual report. Before we hand over to you, ma'am, let's first note apologies from our side. Mr. Hai is attending investment conference in Johannesburg. Mr. Julius is on sick leave. Mr. Molezani also on sick leave. Mr. Nyami and Ms. Masangu. Mr. Nyambi? Okay. Maybe he's also attending the investment conference in Johannesburg. Ms. Masangu also is on sick leave, yeah. And then, Whip, do you have any apologies? No apologies. Okay. Any apologies from our side? Am I leaving anyone out? I've noted all the apologies. No? Okay. All right. From your side, Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members. Apologies from the DM, Division Manager, Facilities, ISIS, Timothy Sungu.
Okay, thank you. We note all the apologies. As indicated, we only have one agenda item, annual report and presentation. The presentation was distributed on the 16th of September and on the 24th of October, so we've had an opportunity to go through the annual report. I also want to note the absence of the NCOP in this meeting. We have consulted with the rules. Then, what did they say? Can you assist? So that it is clear that the NCOP, it is recorded that the NCOP is not part of the meeting, but the rules do allow us to continue without them. Can you clarify us?
Good evening. The joint rules establishing the joint technical and financial management of Parliament allows for the committee to continue with its business if a third of its members are present, a dozen states, which house they need to come from. So we've got five members present, we can continue and we won't be taking any decisions, so we won't need a quorum from the NCOP side tonight.
All right. Any objections? Any comment? None. All right. Okay. Over to you, Nachawa.
Honourable members, thank you, Chairperson. As Chairperson has indicated that the report was sent to members a while ago, what I'm not going to do is go slide by slide, but I'll actually select highlights of the annual report, more so that this is a historical document, as in nothing much can be changed. It's been audited already. The first three slides, what we're doing there is we're providing you with an infographic that indicates the various business targets of Parliament. We have compiled from the side of the members all activities and all legislative issues as well as oversight engagements that they have had. Those slides are self-explanatory. That's largely counting and also saying this is how many meetings, how much oversight we've had, but it's a reflection of the work of Parliament. I suppose anything beyond that could be what then does it say about the policies and priorities of Parliament. That's the three slides. So I'm going to move from those unless there's questions. What I want to spend time on is these two slides, this one and the next one. What we're showing the chairperson and honorable members is at the beginning of the last term, our performance was sitting at 45.8%. I also want to indicate that it is something that we need to look at because we do not necessarily have what we say for Parliament to have performed, we have a baseline or benchmark of not performing below a particular percentage. However, what we did was we refined the way in which we report and we refined our targets, we refined our performance indicators. We moved from a point of beam counting to a point where we're talking about turnaround time for services towards members. Members will notice that it's been incremental, and by the fifth year of the fifth parliament, we were sitting at 78.5% of performance. What we do is the weighting of all the indicators that have been met, and the report does provide the detail of what is it that we met. The next slide, which is equally important, is that Parliament has over 5 years received a clean audit. And indeed, a clean audit is not necessarily easy to achieve and sustain. So over time, what we have done is we have actually improved on making sure that we submit adequate reviews on our annual financial statements. We make sure that we actually use a central repository of information that supports, that provides evidence on what we say we have actually achieved. We've been able to address supply chain issues or the supply chain management issues. We've also been able to, on a quarterly basis, revisit our targets as well as the way in which we report. And in that manner, we've been able to improve our performance from year on year. As a result, over 5 years, indeed through an audit by our auditors, we continue to have a clean audit. And we're hoping that going further into the sixth parliament, we'll be able to maintain the standard, irrespective of changes that might come with respect to the strategy. What we then provide for you is to indicate the targets that were not met. Those are the three indicators. They were not met because we had set a particular percentage and it's marginal. And because this measurement is a blunt instrument, it's green and red, so we don't give yellow or amber for close to meeting a target. It's either you meet it if it's 100. So even if it's 99.5, if it's not 100, it says you have not met the target. So you will see that the marginal differences in the two indicators we didn't meet is about 0.05 and 0.13. So they're extremely marginal. And when we say we haven't met a target, we don't mean we haven't done work. What it means is, for instance, if we're supposed to produce Hansard in 8 days, we actually produced it on the 9th day. If we're supposed to pay members within 2.5 days, reimburse them, we reimburse them on the 3rd day. So it's really about service level agreements, which we actually put together under our service charter and the sub-indicators. You will see, honorable members, that the following slide shows you exactly where we indicated we haven't met what we had set out as targets. The first one is what we conduct at client satisfaction survey that we conduct. One of those is conducted by the Parliamentary Communications Service, wherein we put a target that says by the end of this year we would wish that those who know about Parliament or those who information of Parliament reaches should be at 76% of the population. And if it's marginally not met, it is not met because we had put a target. And those targets are high. And we did not want to set a target that we obviously will meet if we say 40%. Similarly, some of the, for instance, strategic objective 1.6, That's where we changed the methodology and we changed the service provider. And the respondents, the sample was very low, therefore we didn't meet the target we had put, and it does indicate later on in the slides. And of course, the last one, strategic objective 4.2, is the strategic objective that talks about turnaround time in reimbursing members. We put that we want to reimburse members in 2.5 days with a volume and verification of submissions of claims. Obviously, that those days do get impacted on. We'd rather delay than pay incorrectly, because if we pay incorrectly, we definitely will then go into irregular and fruitless, and therefore that will impact on our financial outcomes as audited by the AG. The following slides, what we do, we just break down where there are positive variances and, of course, the actual performance versus the status thereof. So I will not waste your time on that slide. Coming to the following path, we under Program 2 on administration, we're measuring the number of programs of members that is driven by the legislative sector, which is a support, legislative sector support, and there we're just counting the number of the programs. And the next one was measuring the extent to which the resolutions of the Speakers Forum are being implemented. This is the slide before that one. Yeah. We also have discussed this year that one of the things we want to change is it doesn't add enough value just to count the number of programs. We may want to measure something else. But that's a discussion that we'll have with the members, particularly around areas that impact on them, whether we want to discuss or assess the impact, and if we do, well, how do we measure that? But also what we think in the area of the sector, we think it's better to measure things that are important to members and that helps you to improve the lawmaking, public participation, definitely democracy, things like those. However, this is how it's set in the APP that we had completed and that had been audited in the year 1819. The following slides show the members, Chair, the areas of our targets, the actual performance, and it's self-explanatory. And, of course, what I'm showing you on the next slide is just the incremental improvement of performance with respect to the various areas. And we're looking at an MTF, and indeed you will see that from 2016 there's constant improvement on how we're meeting those targets and the performance itself. So it just shows that we've moved from historically under performance to performance then that is maximum. The following slide also explains that, and I'll move on to that very quickly. Program 4, this to us, I think it's an area also that members have asked often, and I must say we are going forward, honorable members, we are going to make sure that our quarterly reports have quarterly targets against the annual targets, because it's been indicated we have started in our current quarter one report. We are providing you progress on a quarterly basis to say in this quarter against this annual target, this is what we have achieved. However, members will realize that we will not be able to quantify it. It will not be a percentage. It will be a narrative. Example, if we're doing a survey, which results of which will only come in November, what we will measure is that we have issued terms of reference, drafted, we've issued or appointed a service provider, or field work is completed, or analysis of data and collation of data is being done, so that members are comfortable to say we will meet that target come November or come December. And also to say where we have problems, well, sometimes we do have problems. For instance, we have a stakeholder, we have a client satisfaction survey. And in that client satisfaction survey, we request members to complete questionnaires. And we realize that if we don't continue to remind you, the responses from members is very low and therefore compromises the percentages. So when we provide the quarterly reports going forward, we will brief you, even say, to date, so many responses have been received by the service provider, so that members have an idea whether we're going to meet that target, which is annual. And you are able to actually make sure that we are aware and you are tracking whether we're going to meet the annual target. So that's what's going to change going forward. And that's, if you look at Program 4, these annual targets, most of them are in Program 4. So I want to reassure you, Chairperson, that you will not see any gray. You will see, possibly we'll leave it as white, but we'll give you a narrative. We will not gray it. We'll have green and red, or we will have red with a narrative. All I can tell you is we will not give you a percentage because we don't know how to quantify when it says that a questionnaire has been completed. Is it 5% or 100%? We don't know, unless if we work around with mathematicians and draw up some algorithms to do that. So Program 4 has got those annual targets. ICT have been able to divide or to break down their annual targets into quarters. So they can tell you exactly in terms of universal access, accessibility of ICTs by members can be measured on a quarterly basis. So they have the quarterly reports. And henceforth, we're going to be presenting that. However, on the slides, what we're showing you is the incremental improvement of the work that we have done. And then, of course, there are dips somewhere in between there, as I've explained. Program 5, Associated Services, it is exactly what I was talking about. The only indicator there that we didn't meet, or the target that we didn't meet, is that which I explained. And we do provide an explanation under the variance column to say a reason why we didn't meet that, and I've actually explained that. And then, of course, under that program, we also have an integrated service, seamless service project that was finalized, but it's continuous. And this is a space where we're trying to integrate all the services of members into one space. And you will see that it was a project implemented, completed. So we will not have anything called seamless services project. It is done. All we're going to continue with will definitely be the services that we provide and start measuring whether those services are meeting the needs of the members. The next sessions, ma'am, is the budget expenditure. And these financials have been audited. There's nothing much I can say about it, nothing untoward, unless if members have got questions to raise. I want to draw your attention to a continuous challenge that we have in our budget. The attention I want to draw the members to is the fact that we do actually carry a big, shall I say, deficit, or there's a proper word, liability, that's the word. We carry a liability in our parliament budget. As a result, when financial people, even the audit committee, the past audit committee, used to say, actually, if parliament was in business, we would be insolvent, because we carry that permit liability of 1.6 billion. And in our books, it looks like we're insolvent. And indeed, financially, in the language of financiers, we are actually insolvent. Insolvent because we're carrying that for the provinces as well as members, former members on permit. This is an area that we keep on discussing with National Treasury, and they are very clear that this cannot come onto their books. It must sit somewhere else, and apparently the only place it can sit on is our permit. It is also important to see that if we exclude permit, the liability is reduced. Actually, there's no risk when you look at it. You know, we look like we are a healthy institution. The biggest thing about this area is that it distorts the baseline of parliament. It says you get 2.6 billion. Yet, if you exclude that and further exclude the direct charges, members will realize that that's where you see the real budget of parliament. And we've been discussing this with the past Joint Standing Committee on indeed the fact that this area has to be attended to at a political level of executive authority. That is why even when you ask for Treasury to address our shortfalls, first thing they look at this, and we argue that our baseline has never been revised for many, many years. Other things are related to the fact that we used to have rollover of funds because our Act allows us to retain our funds, particularly those funds that budget that's been appropriated, of course, not from the National Revenue Fund. But on this slide, what we're just explaining to you is that it's been audited and there's nothing untoward. The following financials also on inventories, receivables, current assets, exchange transactions, nothing untoward, and the auditors didn't find anything wrong with our financials. And I can go on and on, Chairperson, but at the end, the financials are quite straightforward and they've been audited by the AG. There's nothing much I can say. I'd rather say that's the end of the presentation and we can actually ask for comments and any clarifications that members would want to get from ourselves. At the end, what we are saying is that on the conclusion slide, that our performance has improved over time, and we hope that there is proof that from the parliamentary side, we have shown steady improvement in the way in which we manage the finances of the institution, the way in which we deliver against our targets, the way in which we try and do zero budgeting and make sure that we spend what we have. And the fact that we're sitting at 28.5, and that in fact the decline in the budgets still actually pose a risk on Parliament. And the last point is that maybe because of the restrictions of or the reduced budget, it is going to be important for members to really identify what are the policy priorities and strategies that you want to pursue in the sixth Parliament. What are those that you want to deal with in the outer years of the MTF with the hope that there will be improvement in the fiscals of the country? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We welcome the report, member. Can we engage before we formally adopt and present the report to Parliament next week? I'll start with the whip of the committee, Dr. Khadebe, Mr. Singh. Oh, Maina, you're still thinking, eh? You're welcome. All right,
thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we'll have to appreciate the presentation made. And then it was also timelessly distributed. The person was able to reflect around a lot of issues around this thing. First of all, we also have to congratulate them in maintaining the clean audits for the past 5 years, which is good. I think that it is the basis for moving forward, because if you've got a strong rock in which you're standing, it's easier to jump outside the river when the crocodiles are next to you. But what I want to also appreciate what the acting secretary said, that they want to maintain that moving forward. I look at these issues where they fail, just like the issue of turnaround time in England in compensating the parliamentarians. I think that in moving forward is going to deteriorate, because I think the system you are using now is bad. Usually before, the members were paid twice. It's either at the weekend or during the week. But what you find now is that all the claims are lumped on Monday. And then as we are speaking now, there's an outcry outside there. There are claims which were there for past 2 weeks, which have not been paid. I think at that part, you cannot just say it's lack of capacity. You must tell us, why was the capacity lost? Why was the capacity lost? Because it never happened like that in the past. I think that one must be explained. Number two, Chairperson, is the issue of this thing which they have to own the Department of Public Works. What work did the Public Works do? because we expect that the public works will do projects, a particular project, which will be funded properly. What is it which you are owing to public works justice and SAPS? Because we take that the SAPS is their mandate to protect the national key point. How can Parliament owe those guys? I think we need an explanation around that. On the issue of permit, Chairperson, I think on that polar regard, I think this thing cannot go anywhere. We will not like it to go to Treasury. It must remain with Parliament because Treasury is the executive. But the issue, it must be funded properly. It must be funded properly. If that it must be charged, it must be a direct charge from the National Treasury. It must be done. I think that a decision must be taken around that. It cannot come as a liability or as a threat. This is not a threat. These people worked, and then they worked for South Africa. They worked for the continent. So they must enjoy their benefits as they move forward. So that one is the two. And then what is also dangerous is the narrative that this thing must go to the province. The province must maintain. That one is dangerous because what is good now with the system we're having is that you can move from Parliament, go to the province. There's no problem. Once you start differentiating that, are going to have a serious problem. That's why when you look at the municipalities now, there's capacity in the national departments. There's no capacity in the local government. But what's the difference? Why people do not go there to the local is because the conditions of are not the same. So once you divorce the provinces from the national, it's dangerous. The constitution is very clear. There are three arms of state, the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. So let's treat it equally. Let us not even entertain the issue of divorcing the provinces from that. Instead, we'd rather come with the laws which is going to tighten that and improve coordination. And then on the other issue, Chair, the issue of customer client certification, I wonder that's how does it work. If it is at the rate it is, you go around here, around the State of the Nation address, just go to the toilets here, you find a smell all over. So I wonder who was being surveyed, who was happy with some, because some of the services really are not up to standard. So I think that on that polar regard, who are the people you've contracted to do the survey? Who was the target market to go upon? What was the how many people? What was the sample to go upon? Because if the MPs are your clients, take them as your clients. If you do a survey, only 20 MPs or 50, then that survey is going to be faulty. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have quite a number of issues, but I'll just run through them, and we can get answers now or later on. But firstly, to say thank you very much to the Acting Secretary of Parliament and their team. The report that's presented here reminds me of when I used to get reports in school. Even if you get 85%, the principal will write very good, but room for improvement. So I'm saying to Parliament as well, very good, but room for improvement. And I think they take that comment in the spirit that it is intended. But what I can say is, having served on this committee from the time it was first constituted to now, there's been great improvement. And I would also like to credit the past chairpersons and the committee itself for asking searching questions and for working with the administrative staff of Parliament so that they are able to tighten up in many of these areas. So I think it's been a two-way stream that's helped all of us. So my first comment, Chairperson, is on, I'd just like to know what's the relationship now between the administration of Parliament, the executive, and staff. We know we had challenges in the past. Are things improving? Is there no powder keg that is anywhere that can erupt at any time? And I note from your financials that there was a 56 million rand underspend in compensation of employees, if I'm right. If we can just be told why that there was a 56 million rand underspend, and how are we doing in terms of number of employees to the system? And this brings to mind the question of the PBO, that office, is it adequately funded and staffed? And then also legal counsel. I was invited to speak at a conference at a colloquium at PAP last week, a legal counsel from Africa. And I realized that, you know, we are short of legal people in the establishment. We don't have sufficient to cover all the committees and to cover, you know, giving support to us. as members, because we don't get much support as members. The committee has kept the support. So what are we going to do in that regard? And I know what the financial constraints are. Then the question of outsourcing and insourcing. During the course of the last financial year, there's been some insourcing, which is a good thing. Everybody wants insourcing. Catering department was a case in point. What are the benefits, what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages of this outsourcing and insourcing in terms of productivity, in terms of how much we are spending, etc. The PABED issue, I want to agree with the Whip Pongane, that it's a very sensitive issue. But we cannot allow this issue to be dragging on year after year after year. Right? Same goes with the flights to former members. Right? We've been discussing that over and over again. Parliament is carrying the budget of the executive, 48 business class tickets, etc., etc. It's got to come to a head. Right? And we know last year there were supposed to be high-level meetings between the executive authority and Treasury, the minister. Did that happen? What was the outcome of those discussions? Because we need to give the speaker and the NCOP chair a time frame to say by a certain time, as we're moving to the next budget, by a certain time you must come to some resolution with this matter, otherwise it'll be a perennial matter. And we've got to deal with those two issues. See, what we've got to remember, and I think we all know this, we are an arm of the state, just like the executive. Right? We can't have the executive telling us what to do. It's like Turkey is having a meeting together to decide what's going to happen over Christmas. Right? They're going to be slaughtered. But they can't say, no, we won't, we won't allow ourselves to be slaughtered. So, I mean, that's got to come to a head. Then, I would also like, as in passing, the Section 25 hearings that we had last year, the public hearings. You can give us in writing, Chair, through you, how much did it cost? All the public hearings, because we were busing people in and we were doing all sorts of things. Time frame. Members' support, we heard the other day that, and that goes to Honourable Hateba's question, we heard the other day in Parliament that some members retired, two of them. I don't know if they were both from that department. Is that the reason why the payments are being delayed? Or is there any other reason that you can forward us? And, I think I'll stop there for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable Suma. Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. My apologies to be slightly late, but my question is triggered by what Honourable Singh have raised. Probably when they provide the information in terms of the public hearings of the last term, Section 25, also is to say ideally how much should the public hearings cost? Because I know that one, if you put it in terms of cost, you ask the question in cost, you will end up shortcutting the process of public hearings, as it were. Then it becomes a legal issue, it gets challenged at court. But there must be a pre-financial scope that you are able to work with. Like now, we've got more committees that would be, in any event, eventually have public hearings. But if there's no guidelines, then we'll be told there's no money, you can't do this. You can only cover 5 provinces instead of 9 and all those things. But I'm just raising in terms of that. But also the other one, which I would like to make a comment, you'll forgive me, Honorable Singh. Your question in terms of without responding, but I just want to confirm that we're not implying that outsourcing is more efficient than insourcing and all that, but because sometimes we may apply some imply what we don't necessarily imply to send the message across. Other than that, Chair, one is quite satisfied in terms of the performance of Parliament, and of course there's still a room of improvement. But of course, what Honourable Khadim has raised, I'll concur with him that I don't think the issue of permit could be a political issue, because it's more of a financial management issue that impacts in terms of the coffers of Parliament. So if it can be treated as such, the better. Probably even the suggestions, how best can we manage it so that also it doesn't be an ongoing concern in terms of the AG's
comments. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask the CFO to deal with the matters of permit and the 56 million underspent, because we've done a lot of work around that with National Treasury up to yesterday. So we can talk to that. Joe, Mr. Nkuna will deal with.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think let me first deal with the issue of the subs, the payment for subs and public works. Why are we paying public works? The payment for subs, they do provide protection services, but in terms of the agreement between police and parliament, parliament has to pay overtime if they work above a certain number of hours. That's parliament's responsibility. That's why we see subs there. Public works, we do have, I think it's about three parliamentary democracy offices. I think one in Northwest, one in Limpopo, one in, I just forgot the other one, Northern Cape, yeah. So public works entered into this agreement on behalf of Parliament. They do pay, but Parliament must refund them. Those are for the three PD offices. Permit one, this is I don't even know how to start this one because I understand it might not be political, but it was out of frustration from our side when we say let's take it to provinces. Because we're saying if it's about 1.5 and then we devolve this to provinces, then each province and parliament will have a minimal risk than parliament carrying all these amounts here. Because if it was a business, parliament should be shutting down now. We're not going concerned. Yes. We did engage two former ministers of finance. They both refused. They will never take over this one. Because we are saying within National Treasury, we've got, I think, the Program 7, where they are dealing with medical aid for former military veterans, staff, but they say, no, this one for members, it can't come to Parliament. I think last week there was a letter again to the from the executive to the minister. This morning I just called from a call from someone. They said they might come to Parliament next week to see how bad can we handle it, but they are not taking over from National Treasury. There they are very clear that they are not taking over. So that's where we are. So I think somehow, because we are saying if at least it's in Parliament, please they must help us by funding it adequately. Because for next financial year, it will be bad because after the election in 2019, we had many members who resigned and joined Parliament. It will be worse than what we're having here. So we're saying if it's in Parliament, it's fine, leave it there, but fund it adequately. That's all we're asking, yes. $56 underspending on compensation. That $56 underspending on compensation there is due to resignations during the year, and there was an agreement between management and the labor union that the performance bonus for the previous financial year must be reversed. That's what caused that huge, because I think it was about $15 million which was provided, and then we have to reverse that figure there. That was the agreement between management and the labor union, that performance bonus for the last financial year won't be paid. Then we have to make that reversal in the 2018-19 financial year. Thanks.
I think the context we must share with the members. Mm-hmm. This is when we're doing a no work, no pay. So there were days where, in fact, if we had effected the no work, no pay, people would have had zero salaries. So we had to go into a negotiation to say we compromise. You lose, we lose. And that's how we got to that decision of the non-payment of performance bonuses made, so that we make it sure that we contextualize this. The question about insourcing, the first other question, PBO. Honourable members, PBO was set up not funded. It still has got no fund. It is one of those offices that when was established, almost like an unfunded mandate. When it was established, there was no allocation specially for them. It gets budget from us. So continuously until we get what we asked for, which we did, we asked many a time. It is PBO, it is OISD, it is Treasury Advisory Office. Those components are not funded. And like I was saying, Honourable Members, Chair, our baseline, if you look at it strictly, it's never been rebased and changed. So those offices are still not funded. So what we do the best we can is to really fill the positions as best as we can by reprioritizing, requesting colleagues to work on the critical positions and fill in what is critical for members to really get the support. Similarly, I think with the legal services, we're quite aware that Parliament needs stronger and stronger support from the legal services. We're doing a realignment. But I think, honourable members, what we've seen in other parliaments is they have got very good relationships with the universities and tertiary institutions. Because there never will be a time where there's a one-on-one, where you have as many legal advisors as in proportion to as many requests coming from members. And indeed, we are aware that that area is quite stressing because of the litigation that gets thrown at Parliament almost all the time. However, there is a whole process of trying to realign and rebuild that area. And HR, in the report we provided in between to yourselves, we actually spoke about the re-engineering process. But we think if we have partnerships with other institutions of learning that are continuous, we may be able to address that because some parliaments do that. A lot of what they get is specialists from outside whom they sign contracts with instead of employing full-time on their human resources establishment. The question on insourcing, I think the first thing we must say is that insourcing was extremely difficult for us. It was difficult in that when we did it, we had to sit down with labor and explain that we definitely do need to have criteria. Initially, we were almost bulldozed to absorb. And we said, we cannot just absorb. As any institution, you need to know at what level you need somebody to function. To do that, you need to assess. So we had to say, you either have grade 7, standard 7, or standard, and agree with a standard 10. And we had interviews, got people in the positions that we got them into. Relatively, as in any other institution, I think some of the things that we're seeing, particularly in the old assembly, is just training our middle management, the controllers, to make sure that they manage the cleaning staff. Yes, they're here. But in the manner in which they work, it's not as satisfactory. We are very aware of it. And then we did have a challenge also, and I'm addressing also whether has insourcing benefited us or not. Currently, according to the acting CFO, we're breaking even. We're not making any or generating any income. First, we took a lot of these employees were paid by Bidvest, I think around the region of 1.5 and 3,000, and we tripled that. That's first. Secondly, we had to invest in buying our own tools now of trade, from cutlery to hoovers to whatever, because those were brought by Bidvest. So that was capital injection there. Okay, some we buy, then that's done. But what we are able to do gradually, the division manager there is able to make sure that at least the groceries, the services that we have, and the suppliers, it's better to call it suppliers than say groceries. The supply that we have, we are able to say, at least we know what we're stocking stays. But obviously there's also another emerging pattern. We were in a workshop of Honorable Rocha on the member support, and we were told that there is now an emerging pattern of stealing. And members leave their belongings in various committee rooms, unlike before, they disappear. So what it means is we must now exercise consequence management, ensure that we train first the controllers and make sure that we reorganize our staff so that they take various hours. Because with Bidvest, there were those who come in at 6 a.m., leaving at 2, and there were those who come in later in the afternoon because that's when there's a lot of activity when committees sit like now. And members will see as you walk out of here, you're going to meet some plates hanging out somewhere, you know, and we're working in that. It's not easy. I think what we didn't really anticipate that it will be this difficult once we employ people full-time and they guarantee their salaries. So a lot of it is training, change of attitude, and really also us supporting them. And that is why in our HR budget, well, with training, you will see that there's now a skew towards APET. Instead of giving people bursaries for masters and PhDs, we've decided that we're going to skew our budget for training and really try and focus on this cohort of people that we got from Bidwest that were not at levels that were correct, and to really bring them up. And then hopefully over time we will win them. And of course our managers must manage bottom line. That's what we try. Relationship between staff and there's no institution, honorable members, that's problem free. But the difference here is the management and labor organization have monthly meetings. They sit and they discuss. There are certain matters in Parliament that one can never resolve. And if you look at the case, it comes from 2006, when somebody didn't have a performance agreement, but when bonuses are paid, they are now saying they were not assessed 10 years ago. And I was saying to one of my colleagues, Mr. Carson, saying, you know, some of us were here for 6 years, so we don't know what happened 10 years ago. So he told me that when going to any office, you take up negative and positive. So we continue to have a discussion with such members that staff members that are affected. But like I say, there's nothing, there's no environment that is free of problems. What we know is that there is not extensive negative toxicity that is making managers fight with staff as it used to be before. That one we must know. And what we know, we couldn't have performed at 78.5% if 90% of the officials in Parliament were disillusioned. People would have withdrawn their service and their labor and let everything collapse. So it's an area that we're treading on, and we think we're improving, and we hope to sustain it. And what's final about this point, what we've created is we've created a management forum. So all staff that is within the band of D, they do have a forum that they discuss matters that pertain to them as well as the institution, almost trying to devolve management going forward. But that's not problem-free, and we continue to really look at those issues individually and collectively and continuously. I also want to add, Chair, when we found that there was a lot of conflict and a lot of, fights, I don't want to characterize it as fast, misunderstanding, we employed a service provider that trained managers on conflict management, on labor relations, and we even had a group of our senior managers attending a program at Stellenbosch. And included in that, we commissioned a service provider that provided coaching for some managers, and some of those managers have continued with their coaching. And the environment is improving. It can improve better, and we think that we can actually go forward from a stronger base. I think I have... Oh, yeah, there's a question on committees and public hearings, the costing of public hearings. That I would like Ms. Beck to address that one. She is here.
Thank you. Good evening, Chairperson, honourable members. I think the question was more a request for the cost of the Section 25 public hearings. We can provide those costs. I think it's just a distinction if we're going to try and draw comparisons between public hearings in the previous Parliament and the current NHI process. It's all dependent on the nature of the bill and the extent of which it's going to impact on citizens, and that it's a great determinant for committees then in terms of how extensive those public hearings are going to be. And as far as possible, we try and be as inclusive as we can be. And this is why if we want to compare, for instance, our NHI process with the constitutional review process, the Section 25 process, last year public hearings were held in two municipal districts per province. With the NHI process now, we are going to four municipal districts per province, and we can already see what the cost implications are. But we will share that information as far as possible. We really do not want these matters to be contested in court and then Parliament to be told that we haven't followed adequate public participation processes. So that's part of the advice that we can give to committees to ensure that we try and reach the requisite audience. Thank you.
Chair, I think we've covered most of the questions. Refunding. Yeah, the one element is indeed the retirement of the two colleagues, and I'm told two of the staff members also went ill almost within the same week, which is quite not good. So what it means there is the manager there must actually manage so that, and that's not where we want to get the members to be involved with that. It comes back to my office to go ratify that so that we don't blame it on, people don't blame to be ill. Thanks.
Okay. Ms. Soma, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This one is just, it's got nothing to do with the report which we are discussing, but for probably it's a question with a suggestion. I hope I'm not mixing the committees on this one, that there is this talk in the passage that says that if a person resigns or there is a subtle changing of job descriptions of the individuals without communicating with them, and I'm saying if I know it's a corridor talk which I'm not supposed to bring here, but I'm talking in relation to HR, that if then there is an intention for Parliament admin to change any unit which affects the job descriptions of individuals, the consultation issues before even the unions can engage on that one, we must just make sure that we take care of that one. I'll put it that way, because it wouldn't have been raised if it's not somewhere in between. And I think the HR manager must pay attention to the details in terms of the units, how they operate and how they are being managed.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the responses. One of my members complained to me when I was in the House that he was extremely unimpressed with the lunch that was provided at an outside venue where the committee met today. And I'd just like you to investigate that. I don't know if I should name the venue, but I can just tell you quietly. But Parliament did use an outside venue because I think all your venues were used up here in Parliament. But I'll give you the name of that venue, and then you can just check, you know, why that happened. The other issue is EU. We get a lot of money from the EU. I know it's for training, bursaries, empowering members of parliament, etc., etc. So can we get a breakdown at some stage of where the EU money has gone and for what purposes it was used in the last financial year and in the coming financial year if we're going to get any more money and what it's going to be used for? And lastly, I don't know if anybody knows whether or not the Secretary to Parliament post has been advertised, and maybe we need to ask the EAs when are they going to advertise, because, you know, it's good to have all your top admin people in place. And I was going to suggest, Chair, that in the interview committee they should use some members of this Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament. They haven't done that before. They had some advisor or something like that with the EAs, some professor or somebody. But that's a suggestion we can make when we meet the EAs. Thank you.
No, I think I just want to hear Honourable Member say it's corridor, but I just want to reassure this committee that our HR team is extremely professional. They cannot be that there's a job description that gets altered. We've got a formal evaluation committee chaired by Mr. Castle, when a job is to be evaluated or changed, it is submitted by that particular manager and is taken to that committee to evaluate whether it's at a grade that is appropriate and remunerated accordingly. And the good thing is the shop steward, we have a permanent shop steward now who collates all the information and the concerns of officials and channels to either the DM, and there's a whole process where if an issue has happened more than once, twice, three times, it's submitted to the next level. So it will be important. Sometimes it does help if we know it specifically. It might well be that somebody's an issue has fallen through the cracks. What I must say to this committee, indeed the job descriptions of Parliament are old. When we were recruiting and identifying both cleaners and waitrons, we had job descriptions of 1974 that were talking about Gos Khat. There was Gos Khat, I think it's food corner. I don't know what it is in Afrikaans. So all of those things, HR is revisiting the job descriptions. There are those who are antiquated. Some of the people have actually are even working outside the parameters. So we're modernizing that. It's taking a while, but it's not something we are undermining and looking or not attending to. And indeed, what we said when we submitted is at a certain point in time, the committee might want, through you, Chairperson, for us to just have just one presentation on the human resources and human capital in the institution, as well as how we've reorganized HR to drive the business partnering model. Because in this country now, HR has evolved. When you're in HR, you have to, it's almost like I'm managing your account, so you ask me everything. You don't go to any other person. I'm the one who drives your needs, irrespective of what you need. I can activate a team behind me. And since we've changed that model in Parliament HR, you deal with one person than many, many other people. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, colleagues.
I can confirm that the EU audited statements were submitted to the Speaker's Forum. The detail is there. The breakdown is there. We will definitely share with the committee, more so that it is audited by AG also, because we have to disclose donor funds. Thanks.
Member Matthews?
I'm impressed by the answers that we do have highly qualified people in the HR who do the good job. We appreciate that. And now what I think it should be done is there will be that one day presentation on matters of HR. But what now I think which will help this committee will be that Parliament prepare the quality management system of the HR, which has policy and procedures, so that all these members can be able to go through them on their own, and it will then help us to rescue this problem that we meet on the corridors. Because we'll be having policies that says, especially, I agree, some of us, we are new here. We don't know how you operate in Asia. So it might be few members who knows what is happening. So, but with... I'm looking at me. So, Chairperson, as we will be requesting that at the end, not tomorrow, but at the end of all the work that is in progress, what is requested is the quality management system file of the HR, which goes with the policies and procedures of that quality management system. Then it will help us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of HR, it ignited something. I think there was a vacancy rate of around 9%. What is happening to that? Did you improve from the vacancy rate staff the vacancy rate, because we know very well that outside there, there's a high rate of unemployment. So if are there any vacancies here, which are not filled, if they are not filled, why are they not filled? Because, as I said, there's a high rate of unemployment. You know, even last week, the Minister of Finance made a call, a plea about cost-cutting measures. What are you doing to help with that call? Anything in place to help? Because the country is under dire straits. It's a fact. We cannot deny it. So what is this institution, as the other arm of state, what is it doing to respond to the call?
In the past year, the one thing we did was to do away with the printing. We did a whole internal audit of printing. And we continue to even encourage our members to use my app so that we reduce the paper and the packages, and our honorable members use their gadgets that we give them. On our side, we want to continue to commit that we will make sure that documents are updated and are sent electronically in good time to all members. Secondly, I cannot think of the amount now, but we did an assessment of printing right across the institution, and we found that there were printers everywhere and everybody was printing anytime in color. We took away those printers, we consolidated them, and in various floors, officials do have codes, and they share these big printers. So that's one of the things we cut. The one thing that we are also trying to cut, and I think we will need the support of this committee, is the extent to which we serve food, and maybe agree that things like if it's a meeting as early as after 8 or 9 o'clock, there is no need for a full-blown catering. Even on our side, we're trying to reduce that if there's an internal meeting, we should really cut down, because David Yao might be attending 3 meetings, and in all those 3 meetings, she might be eating. So we're trying to reduce that too, and I think we're getting somewhere. With the printers, we definitely saved a lot, and we can share with yourselves those figures. The other thing we've done, we used to go for our strat plans outside and, you know, catering, sleepover. We've cut down altogether. We do our strat plans in the precinct. What we're going to do on Friday, this Friday, we have a senior manager's budget lokhotla, and we're going to look at patterns of spending and where we can start reducing the expenditure. One of the things, honorable members, that the committee might assist us with is international travel, particularly when we as officials asked to provide support to honorable members. We do want honorable members to be supported when they travel. However, if it is overboard, if some of us just travel, all we do to carry a jacket for the member, we think it's not fair to the institution, and what the minister has said is what we must practice. And the pre-planning of committees, and the question you're asking about committees, budgeting quite properly so that if there is anything that's unplanned and unforeseen, it should really be that. So that we don't have a time where if committees have to go, when we buy those tickets late, it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. But when committees have planned well in time, oversight, whether international, regional, even domestic, we're able to get better costs, better tickets, better negotiations, better costs. And we think if we just do that, but on the space of the members, I think, Chair, through yourself, it has to be a conversation that is raised by your honourable members to maybe the chairs of chairs, to the political leaders, because we don't want to be seen to be arrogant and getting into spaces. However, we are accounting for the budget. There's only one accounting officer. One has to take that responsibility. On international travel too, it might well be that the Sixth Parliament decides what are the most important bilaterals and multilaterals that are non-negotiable? And because some of those things are static. You know when these IPU sits, when SADC sits, when PAP. So we can plan in advance. But there we would need guidance and leadership from this committee and a lot of support from this committee. Thanks, Chair.
In closing, let me join my colleagues for congratulating and congratulate you and your team for obtaining a clean audit for 5 years. Yes, it is not easy, but I'm saying as an oversight body, you lead by example. So other government departments will take tune from Parliament. So keep it up. Please do not regress. But the way you have committed yourself that going forward, you will set yourself clear, measurable targets that you will be able to achieve. I have no doubt that you will continue to obtain the clean audit. I think the first issue that I have observed is that we need to find space and talk about National Treasury's power over Parliament. It's a topic that you can shy away from. We need to talk about that because Parliament needs more money to fund its own mandate, and we are independent from Treasury, isn't it? So we need to start. I think our democracy is maturing, and we want to professionalize public service. So we can only win if we define our roles properly. I want to suggest that we have management meetings. We'll find a way of inviting other members in their free schedule. I've noted 7 items that I feel they need our agenda attention, even if it's not that it's in this forum. The first one, we need to conclude on the permit liability. I've heard you giving responses, but it's not enough. Somewhere your document says you wrote a letter to Treasury, and they have advised that you investigate the underlying structure and risk profile of permit and financial modeling. I don't know if you've conducted that. That's what they've recommended. So it's still outstanding. We need to discuss that. The second issue, there's a need for you to improve your internal control system. The third issue, reimbursement of members on time. It's still a challenge, even though you gave us answers, but it's not enough. We need to come up with an effective way of paying members, you know, even if it can be, I don't know, but we need to find a way, a smart way of reimbursing members. That is coupled with the way we are subjected to write claim forms, you know. It's like you're writing exams. Must write, yeah, over and over and over again, you fill the same form. So it takes much of our time. Sometimes people don't claim because they don't have time to do that. And it's a responsibility that you cannot extend. It's your own responsibility, because tomorrow if you extend it, should you get in trouble with the tax, in tax queries, it's you going to be responsible for that. So it's something that you cannot extend to your PA to do it for you. I don't know if members do that, but if you do that, you should know that you should keep records. We also need to resolve issues related to material irregularity and irregular fruitless expenditure we must resolve issues that are backdated from 2017-2018 financial year. Let's find a way of removing them from your books. Also, your consequence management, we feel that you're not doing well there. We need to also sit down and discuss that, get detailed reports, understand how do you hold people accountable. The other issue is related to cost-cutting measures. As per the advice of the Minister of Finance during the MTBPS, at some point we also need to identify where we should adjust. It will be important that we comply. We can't be seen as though we want to live lavishly, we want more money, yet the country's economy is not doing well. Last issue, the implementation of my app. If we can get that right, and maybe if there's a need, train members on the expensive gadgets that they carry, because we have smartphones, iPads, laptops, but we still have a budget for printing, it's a lot of money. Maybe in the next financial year, the amount must go down, then that other financial year, at all, we should not be having that. My app must work. Yeah, those are the 7 suggestions. I don't know if members, is there any suggestion that you would want the management meeting to discuss? Mama Sho?
It's just an addition, Chair, on what you have raised. You raised the issue of internal controls that they need to be worked on. So what we will suggest is that the management look into the implementation of ISO 13. That is with regard to bookkeeping principles, which will then assist for us to track certain things and for us to do things in time. They can Google it, they will see where, which one, which part. It's an app also, which can be bought somewhere and come and implement it here. You can be able to do a lot of things that can avoid us to get into people not being paid in time, because you'll know who did not do what at what time, of which it assists a lot in terms of the internal controls, checks and things.
All right. But overall, we are happy. All right. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for your time and your patience.